Hello, Husker fans. Welcome to episode 279 of the Husker Football Fan Podcast. I'm Mike Harvat.
And I'm Justin Swanson.
In today's episode, we react to Nebraska's thrilling victory over Northern Illinois under the lights. We also take a look at Louisiana Tech.
You can find us on the web at huskerpod.com or by searching Husker Football Fan Podcast on Facebook. You can also connect with us on Twitter by following at huskerpod or email us at huskerpod@gmail.com. This episode is brought to you by Central Nebraska Buffalo. Check out their website for their latest deals. That's cnbuffalo.com.
Also brought to you by Monty Rohde with Pinnacle Realty in Lincoln. Looking to buy or sell a home in Lincoln or know somebody who is? Reach out to Monty at 402-770-3356. Hi, everyone. We'd like to welcome you to the Husker Football and Volleyball, at least Woo. Twitter account.
Sorry, I feel like it's me. I'm still fired up. We just beat Kentucky.
Yeah.
I've been watching the games. I don't know if there are more, more of them have been on Fox Sports or FS1 or Big Ten Network, but we've been able to stream them this season, and our oldest has been doing a little bit of volleyball, so it's been fun to watch them as a family.
That's cool.
So then I got a tweet about it.
Yeah, it's funny to me because, like, I have notifications for Twitter or X or whatever.
No, it's Twitter. I'm not calling it X.
Okay.
You can't make me.
I have notifications turned on for that app on my phone, and just I know whenever there's a volleyball game on because I see all these likes from people saying so-and-so liked, my heart is beating out of my chest. I'm like, oh, it must be another volleyball game. This is exciting and stressful. Stuff like that.
Volleyball is so stressful to watch for me.
But, but anyway, we are the Husker Football Fan Podcast. I should have emphasized the word football when I said that, but
yeah, you emphasized fan.
We are a fan podcast. We were originally called the podcast. I can't say the word because we'll get another cease and desist letter, but
I'm going to their website to see if they still even exist.
The OG listeners know what we're talking about. Anyway, hi, everyone.
They still have a website.
Oh, good for them. Nebraska won yesterday.
And yes.
You pointed out in the last, 24 games, that's the sixth time we've been able to say that?
That is what I heard on television today.
Holy cow. Oh, it's nice to have a post-win episode to record.
Yeah, I noticed. So I was at the game, and now granted it was 14-3 well into the third quarter, but even I'd say 5 minutes into the fourth quarter when it was maybe getting to be 28-3, everybody was still there. People were not leaving. It wasn't until, I don't know what the moment was, but maybe about 8 minutes to go when all of a sudden people started leaving.
Mm. I think, it was probably cathartic for a lot of the season ticket holders, you know, the games like that are few and far between these days, so we'll take it when we can get it.
Yeah, well, hopefully there's going to be more of them in the coming days, but feels good to win.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about Rule's first game at Memorial Stadium. I know that there were some changes, so what stuck out to you?
Well, I was kind of bouncing around tailgates before the game, and it kind of felt like things filled in slowly.
Hmm.
So that kind of made me uncomfortable. So where is everybody? Why are people not filing in? It was full, soon after kickoff, it was full. But I was real close to the Uni Walk, which I've never really done before, where they drop off the players and they walk in through a rope line. And you can high-five them or whatever. I've never done that before, and it felt like the parking lot I was in was a little skinny. So that was, an initial feeling was, man, Nebraska really, for a variety of reasons, needs to start winning again. and then, let's see, they're in the new locker room. So I got to have a stadium tour on Friday and saw and tweeted that the horseshoe had been moved from the old tunnel to the new tunnel. So instead of, they're still coming in from the north, but instead of coming in from the northwest side, they come onto the field from the northeast side. And so there's currently two red carpets in the north end zone, if you wonder. So those were super obvious changes up front. As far as so in-game,
I heard there's a new tunnel walk. I'll be honest, I didn't catch much before the game started. I mean, they're still doing Sirius, right? Or are they doing something different?
Yeah, I think it's just new in that it's a different entrance.
Oh, okay.
I think that was all that was new.
I thought people were implying that they, they changed all of it, but... Okay. What about between third and fourth quarter? Are you guys still listening to some flogging Molly ripoff? Or
between the first and second quarter, they did do, I think it's the Killigans that cover that song. Man. And I'll tell you, Mike, I noticed people cheered and hopped right in with the lyrics. Mm. So
I'm in the minority.
It's catching on. Yeah. I think that one's pulling away from the station, and you're sitting there waving goodbye.
I can't do the we're pretending to be Celtic rock stuff, dudes from Nebraska. I don't know. Maybe they actually have some heritage that connects them to that genre of music. But it's just, to me, that style is stuck in the early 2000s, when punk bands were like, we don't stand out. How can we do something ridiculous so people will love our gimmick? And that's where, Flogging Molly got an audience, and then all of the bands trying to sound like them. But
okay.
I have so opinions, Justin, about music, so deal with it.
I know, yeah. Then this, you have a platform here to share them. So go ahead, continue, propagate. Propaganda? Is that?
Well, here's the thing.
You spew.
Somebody
propaganda?
Needs to come along and write a better song. I'm sitting here whining about it. I write songs. I'm not gonna try to write a better song because I probably couldn't. So
I guess you just gotta shut up.
Tip of the cap to them. They made it work.
Well, they didn't write it. It's like a 100-year-old thing. 100-year-old song.
Really?
They just covered it.
Really?
Did you not know that?
That gives me even less respect for them.
You didn't know that. That's,
no.
It's like a really old song. That's
okay,
why
now I judge them less for using the word vim, trying to make that rhyme with something. But
yeah, it's a 100-year-old song.
Okay.
Mike, put to music.
Sorry, I don't know.
So,
Nebraska folk history.
Lore?
So
Yeah. Clearly. Wow. Between the third and fourth quarter, they did do the kind of fire display.
Yeah, I saw a lot of pyrotechnics.
Flashing shows.
And
this year they added the drones. That was really cool. I know they did that for the volleyball game, but I was not there. So this is my first time seeing that. And they kind of had two rows of it at times. So it was three-dimensional in the sky. And then it would slide to something like the state of Nebraska or like the Husker Iron N. That was in three dimensions.
Or a sandwich.
That was really cool.
Did they make one look like a sandwich?
They did not make a sandwich. Oh, well. They had words, probably Go Big Red. I can't remember what it was. I think my phone was dead at this point, so I was using my wife's phone to take pictures. And they had...
Do you need me to get you a charger? Because I can't tell you how many times at the end of a game I get texts from your wife and you're like, hey, it's Justin.
It always happens.
Need to get you a portable charger.
I have some. They never last. I've been trying to say, there are three words, presumably Go Big Red. Maybe it was other words, but Go was sliding to the right and Big was stationary and Red was sliding to the left. It was really cool.
Run home, Jack. That's what that makes me think of. Do you remember that reference? Run home, Jack. Run home, Jack. Oh, that's from the movie Hook.
Oh, man.
Yeah. This is for not letting me blow bubbles in my chocolate milk. Smash the clock.
I thought you were going to say it was like Air Bud Plays Football or something.
No, no. Air Buddies or something.
It was a beautiful night for a game.
I think you freaked a lot of people out, though, with your tweet.
Well, I was freaked for a moment. Yeah, I saw a big bolt of lightning around noon. But it cleared out. And it rained a little bit. Did you guys get poured on?
I don't think so. I don't.
So the guy I sit next to came up from Papillion. He said they got poured on.
Huh. Interesting. I may have been sleeping. I I have not been feeling 100% lately, so I may have been unconscious when and if we got rain yesterday. So, actually, that's the sad thing. What if I told you I was offered, like on Thursday, a friend of mine offered me free tickets to the game, a pair of tickets for free. I could have gone to the game, but...
And you didn't because...
I had to say no, man. I could feel that I was starting to crash and that I was in no position to be spending the evening there, knowing that then the very next day, I work for a church. For context for my listeners, we had our annual meeting this morning. So it's been a really busy week, and I'm not great. So I'm happy to... to be doing this podcast and have a voice and be conscious right now. But yeah. Well, hey, you want to talk about the game itself? I know we've talked a lot about the atmosphere, but yeah, as you mentioned,
how was the atmosphere from the home comfort of your couch?
Okay. Again, like I was saying, I'm not feeling that great. So it was a lot of just like me kind of like, watching the game, it was fine, you know. I don't know if I'm the best to report about any of that as a spectator from home, so no comments.
Did they talk about Prime more than they talked about Rule?
No, not for this one. They did reuse that awful graphic of him getting Gatorade poured on him. I don't know if you recall that from the season opener, they were showing like kind of his history of rebuilding teams.
So
you didn't see that either. Yeah. They used this like for each school that he had been at previously, they like were showing like different pictures of him. And the first one they show is like, he's getting like this orange Gatorade bath, but like, it's a cutout of him. So like, all you see is his visage emerging between globs of Gatorade in motion across his face and body. it's a very interesting. I'm sure that like whoever on their graphics team made it thought it was like the coolest thing ever, but it's kind of weird. But yeah, so they used that again, talking about his rebuild or his history as a rebuilder or what have you. So It was fine. I don't recall hearing or seeing anything egregious from the announcers. So,
okay.
Yeah. But,
here's one of my interesting, or one of my thoughts are so interesting. Here's a thought that I've had is, for as dominant as we were on the ground or even through the air, there were not many or any big plays. If you, if you define, I don't know what a big rushing yard play would be, maybe over 20 yards. I think the longest rush we had was 20 yards.
Hmm.
So we had, I got stats here, 224 yards rushing on 44 attempts for 5.1 rushes per yards per rush.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no run longer than 20. So we just kept pounding it.
Yeah.
And that's probably why people were sticking around. Into the fourth quarter, I'm looking at the time of the scores, and it was 14-3 until 1 minute left in the third quarter.
Mm.
At which point it's 3-21, and 8-19, it was 28-3, and I think that's probably when people started really going home in mass.
This is beautiful. I'm just looking at the win probability graph. I know that we kind of joked about that a couple weeks ago about how, and I think somebody actually then. In the ensuing week, they made like a grid of all of the different one score losses that we had and how the win probability was like in favor of us. And then it just crashes. This one's beautiful. It's just a big red wave across the whole screen. At no point was NIU favored, which they shouldn't have been, you know? It has us at the beginning of the fourth quarter, the probability hit 99%. And then it was, 99.9% until the very end. It's been a while since I've seen a graph that looks that way. So you can head over to ESPN.com if you want to see that. But
we have seen When was the last time, we'll say it this way, that we have seen Nebraska do what they were supposed to do?
Yeah.
And slowly but surely pull away from an inferior opponent and never look back. Mm-hmm. You know, just keep pouring it on. And, you know, if it's not for that fumble in the first quarter that they then got a field goal, I mean, they'd have been shut out until the last play of the game, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So that maybe kept fans tense and in it, and maybe the players too, but we just kept slowly but surely pounding it, and it worked.
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah, think about how many times we've talked about how just like where and when we score throughout the game, and you look at the breakdown quarter by quarter, 7-7-7-14. That's beautiful. I mean, just think about how many games we've seen where it's like 7-14-0-0 or something like that, you know? So, and also, you know what I think we should do? I think, like, hey, Nebraska fans, if you're listening to this, please feel good about this win. I mean, think about all the discussions that Justin and I have had over the last several years about how there is no such thing as a cupcake opponent anymore. I mean, NIU has spoiled seasons for people. They've spoiled careers for some of our former, or at least for one us. Of our former coaches. You know, and so I think that they're, whereas, you know, sometimes people will say, oh, Nebraska fans, they're stuck in the 90s with their mindset or whatever. And sometimes we kind of poo-poo that. But I think it's true that sometimes I get stuck in this type of thinking that is influenced by back in the day, where I look at a game like this and I'm thinking it should be 77-0, you know, just like that's what it should be. But teams like NIU, teams like Troy, teams like fill in the blank, they can come in and really mess things up for you. You know, I mean, that's been a thing. Get paid $1 million to go beat somebody.
It was a tenacious defense. You know, they were, it really, I was, again, it was, we had 14 points up until the end of the third quarter. So it was, they stuck with us, but then we also stuck with our grounded pound approach with a few quick passes to loosen things up. So it's just, I feel like we're like saying the same thing over and over, but you can't overstate the importance of just running it and sticking with it. I will say, I was there in 2018 when Rocky Lombardi led Michigan State as a freshman. Mm. And that was the snow game, right? Where we won 9-3 or 9-6, I think. And
I think that was a rough
outing for him. Yeah. And this was a really rough outing for him yesterday. He is not Shedeur Sanders in his accuracy, and he did not have Shedeur's receivers. He had a lot of drops.
Mm.
I'm not sure if any of the stat sheets I'm looking at would reflect that, but
oh, the drops,
I felt like there was a lot of drops that, you know, where Colorado and Minnesota repeatedly converted on third down with timely passes. Many of those were dropped.
So dare we talk about Harburg versus Sims?
Well, let's talk about Harburg and then let's talk about Sims.
Okay, but before we do, do you like my tweet? I don't know if you saw it, the poll that I posted.
Yeah, I think it just wrapped up a little bit ago.
Oh, nice. Because, like, you know that that's what people are like. People are going to, I mean, no offense to anybody, if you've seen a respectable account tweet out a poll or spark some discussion about, tell us what you think. I feel like that's low-hanging fruit for engagement this week. Like, if you run a Twitter account and you're like, how can I get people to fight under my comments, like, just post like, what do you guys think about Sims or versus Harburg this week? Anyway, let's talk about Harburg. Like you said, I like his name because it sounds like my name a little bit. Harvat Harburg.
Yeah,
so that's sure. Neat.
I kept saying to my wife, like, he needs a nickname, like Heinrich. Like, what if we call him Heine? Like, let's go Heine.
No.
And she thought that was a terrible idea.
Yeah,
and
no.
She said, don't repeat that.
Listen to your wife.
She just shouted from upstairs. I heard that. Sorry.
I wonder what his middle name is. They could call him, like, Triple H. I think it's the
first time she's ever interacted with me live on the podcast from upstairs. That's hilarious.
That's wonderful. I hope it bleeds through a little bit. 9 years in the making. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it will bleed through because in the past there have been pitter patter or thunkety thunk of little feet that don't get picked up. So.
But yeah, I mean,
he was great.
Yeah, let's. He was great. I mean, a lot of folks want to throw an asterisk on his turnover because it wasn't an interception. It wasn't a drop. He was in the middle of a throw. Like, he was trying to throw it, and he wasn't protected. So you could blame that just as much on the O-line as you could on him, you know?
Sure, yeah.
So, I mean, even with that, you know, there's a lot of people this week that are going to be like, you know, only one turnover with this guy running a competent offense.
Yeah, well, of course, the corollary is if Sims were in, like, maybe he'd look like $1 million too.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I do feel like Rule was a little elusive on was Sims ready to play today. And he kind of walked through the week about, well, we kind of knew early on and that.
Yeah, I think they said that they knew by Wednesday that Sims was.
Yeah, he said he had a really good practice on. Well, I didn't feel like he's ever really clearly said was not going to be able. What I heard Rule say was Tuesday, Harburg had a really good practice. Wednesday, he had a really good practice. And kind of at that point, we knew that he was going to be the guy. So I do feel like as transparent and free-flowing with information as Rule is, he's been really strategic maybe with how he talks about his quarterback. He's not I know I've heard Chattel say it was the first Chattel asked him after the press conference something about after the Colorado game, I think, or sometime around there, he asked him a question about Sims, and Rule said, if I'm going to answer that, I want to answer that from the front because I want him to hear the quote instead of reading it or something like that.
Oh.
And Chattel said that's the first time he's ever had anybody say that to him. Mm. So so Rule is very thoughtful and intentional in how he talks about his quarterback.
Sure.
Quarterbacks. So all that to say, I never heard him saying, please, if I'm wrong, tell me. But I never heard him say, we decided not to start Sims. It was more, we decided to go with Herbert.
Gotcha. But yeah, because, I mean, like when you think about it.
Too much.
No, I hear you. Because, like, at the beginning of the week, I was surprised by how adamant he was that Sims is my guy. You know, like, it was almost like immediately after the game. He's like, nope, we're still going to, he's still going to be our guy. He's going to start the game, you know. And obviously, you know, assuming he's healthy. So it was just, an interesting week. So we'll have to see what happens this next week. I would be happy, you know, with an opponent like Louisiana Tech. I'd love to see them both get some time this weekend.
Yeah. Shoot. Let Chuba have a shot.
Yeah. Why not? Instead of having, what was Purdy in for the last snap of the game? Was that the only thing he did?
He handed it off to. Was it who got the touchdown? Was it Grant or Irvin at that point? He handed off and it was a touchdown.
Oh, really? Okay, so he did go in earlier. I was starting to, yeah.
Oh yeah, he might have been in for that last snap.
No, he was. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. No, he came in for the last snap in the south end zone that resulted in our last touchdown.
Yeah, I thought we were going to see victory formation, but. As somebody on Twitter theorized, they tweeted at us, maybe Rule was a little salty about that 2-point conversion. So,
well, afterwards he said the NIU coach has a good team and he wants to win the MAC and he's trying to get everything he can out of every game. He said just like we did at the end of the Colorado game, so he didn't hold anything against him much. Sounds very Rule.
Yeah. One thing that I liked, I don't know if you caught, I was not happy with some of the personal fouls that our guys got.
I saw you tweeted about that, yeah.
Yeah, they were pretty egregious. Like, we're talking after the play, somebody goes and shoves a guy, just totally uncalled for. But one thing that I was encouraged by is they actually had a camera on Rule when one of those things happened, and you see him immediately say, hey, no, come here. And like, he's like motioning for the guy to come here. Cause you could tell it wasn't, for those of us who have maybe a little bit of Pelini TSD, I don't know. It wasn't like a I'm going to chew you out thing. It was very, very, I mean, like, maybe this is obvious, but it was very coach/mentor like, hey, come here, let's talk about this and why you just screwed things up for our team. Because
why
you let
was
your
that
emotions...
a stupid thing to do? No,
for real, though. Like, I for me, that was like, okay, cool. At least, dare I say the culture word, for me, that was a reassuring thing that like, okay, cool. So we've got some new guys on the team. People are still feeling things out. Maybe some kids are coming from a school and a background where you get your hits in when you can, but Rule's here to kind of be like, hey, this is Nebraska. We're not going to do that here, you know? And I liked that. So despite the personal fouls, I think that they're being coached correctly in the midst of that.
Gotcha. Well, that's great. So I feel like we talked a fair amount about the rushing game.
We didn't bring
wise,
up Grant's return, or did we?
Oh, yeah. Seven carries. We didn't acknowledge it. Seven carries, 46 yards, a touchdown, long of one, of 11, but average of 6.6 yards. And he just really has a knack for making 3 yards into six, or, you know, one into three. He, with a little scoot there. It's kind of funny because when he's in a more open field situation, he's still, he can't help himself. He has to juke.
He's like, I must juke. I must.
I said to my wife, it's like when you're playing a football video game and you're out running and you try to hit like the accelerate and you hit the juke and he like does a juke in the middle of the open field. Like he does that. Which is annoying, but man, he can really squirt through a hole. That's fun to watch. And then he can put a shoulder down and finish the run. So it was good to see him and Gabe Irvin, 14 carries, 67 yards, a touchdown. You know, that 4.8 yards average. You think about Wisconsin, who's played with this style of football while we have not for the last number of years, and they've had such explosive backs that they would always break some. So that I'm going to come back to one of my earlier comments. We didn't break any. And I'm not sure if I'm worried about that or if that speaks to NIU's defense. But yeah, we didn't break anything longer than 20 yards on the ground. I don't know what that's about. It'd be something to keep an eye on. Because we had longer runs against Colorado, I think. And we had, I think, yeah, Sims had a long touchdown run against Colorado and against Colorado. So anyway, it's happens. That's just something I'm gonna be keeping an eye on moving forward.
Sure.
But so I'm gonna keep moving it down to receiving. Fedoni, four catches on six targets, including probably, I think, maybe the play of the game where it's like 3rd and 15 and Harburg's going to the sideline and I thought he was just gonna tuck it or just run out of bounds. And he saw Fedoni break into the sideline, and he said after the game, he just kind of tossed it to this, you know, down the sideline where he knew only Fedoni could grab it, and he reaches out with his massive wingspan and gets his 2 feet down and catches it to move the chains and what became like a 100-yard, 7-minute drive. So it was a 76-yard drive if you look from where it started, but they had a couple of bad penalties along the way. So I think it was like a 100-yard drive at the end, and that was a clutch play.
Yeah. And he...
care to comment on Fedoni?
He shushed the crowd when he scored his touchdown.
Now, I think he was shushing his critics.
Yeah, we know.
But he also shushed the crowd, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. He knew what he was doing. Like, I'm sure that was like something he made up his mind a long time ago he was going to do.
Yeah.
It just happened to happen in front of, you know, 80,000 plus people who love him.
So. In the moment, I thought maybe he was shushing NIU fans, but there really weren't many there. So,
and they would probably blend in because, you know, what are their colors?
True.
What are they going to be wearing?
Black, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wear black to Husker games.
It's not the Sea of Red and Black, Mike.
Okay, so it's a Sea of Red, but like, I'm like, there's a little pepper interspersed. I'm just the spice. I'm the spice of the Husker life.
You're a weird guy.
Yeah, whatever.
That's Dan Marino talking to Ace Ventura. You're a weird guy, Ace. Billy Kemp, 3 receptions on 7 targets for a long of 10. I think that was his touchdown. 13 total yards. I almost felt like, hey, let's lay off a targeting Billy, because he's not bringing him in here.
Right. Yeah.
You want to talk about defense?
Sure.
Or is there anything else you want to say about offense?
No.
How much fun was that defense to watch?
Yeah.
They just got after it. Defense
is so good, man. I tweeted something that I thought was funny, but nobody liked it.
What was it?
I just tweeted, our defense is so bad. And then I did a follow-up tweet saying, I meant like the power glove.
See, I didn't get the power glove reference. What's that about?
There is a film from it's either the late 80s or the early 90s called The Wizard. And it's basically a 90-minute commercial for Super Mario Brothers 3. And in the film, the big bad video game player who's like the enemy of the kid who's quote unquote the wizard, this whiz kid who's going to be like amazing at video games. He's got a power glove and he like puts it on. He's like, I love the power glove. It's so bad. And so it's a niche retro video game reference that I made. So yeah. I guess I should only expect a few people to appreciate
you
that.
You did
tweet.
Not if connect they even with our audience it. With that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, again, my phone had died, so it was kind of interesting to go back through later in the evening and be like, so what did Mike say tonight? Huh, hey, something about a glove.
Hey, folks, if you know what the power glove is, please tweet at HuskerPod. Just send us a tweet saying, I know what the power glove is. Please. Not for me, but for Justin to see that there's at least one of our listeners who knows what the
nobody's
power
gonna
glove
tweet
is.
It dude, nobody's gonna respond,
dude. It's happening. Somebody knows what the power glove is. They gotta.
We'll see. Okay, so the defense, they were all over the place. They were thick to the ball. I mean, 5-6 guys at the point of contact, even, you know, whether it's middle of the field, sideline, or downfield. NIU averaged 1.2 yards per carry. Their longest rush was 7 yards.
That's so... it's wonderful.
They gained 56, lost 30 for a net of 26 rushing yards. I mean, it was awesome.
Mm-hmm. And I said something about this on Twitter, but, you know, when you're talking about we had 4, 5, 6 guys running at the ball, that's one of the things... When I was a kid... I had a poster hung up above my bed. Not like on the ceiling, but just, you know, it was hung on the wall above where I slept. And it was this giant Nebraska football poster. And it was, I don't even know the team. It's been so long. I was like in the fourth grade, but it's like six Nebraska dudes tackling one guy. Just this mass of human beings just like destroying one guy holding the ball. And it's I love it. I probably should go try to find that poster in some vintage store or something at some point in my life and get it framed. But I feel like it's been so long since we've had that. And we've got dudes that tackle in space. And
yeah.
And if the first guy doesn't get him, there's somebody there like in a split second to take him out. It's just, holy cow, our defense this year. I mean, they should start to be recognized at this point because holy cow.
Well, yeah, and we've played, a Big Ten offense already. Pretty much shut them down except for the offense handing them the ball. And then, you know, we hung with Colorado.
National championship contenders with the future Heisman playing for them.
Yeah,
right?
I mean... I think you can make the argument that we shut them down for 3 quarters.
Mm-hmm.
until the, you know, everybody kind of ran out of gas in the altitude.
Yeah.
So people have seen it, and it's going to carry us. You know, I don't think we're going to have as much success every game running the ball as we just did.
Yeah.
But that defense is going to carry us, and the Big Ten West looks real. It looks wide open.
You were there when I needed you. You were there when the sky flung wide, wide open. Wide, wide open. It's a Jars of Clay Stephen reference. Prince 1997 album, Much Afraid. Song's Five Candles. It was written for the film Liar, Liar, but the scene got cut, so they ended up using the song in the film Jack Frost.
Really?
Yeah.
It was in Liar. It was going to be in Liar, Liar.
It was written for a specific scene in Liar, Liar, but the scene got cut from the movie, so they did not use the song.
Is that that's been known for a while? I assume.
Yeah, the original title of the song was "The Wish," and it was, I guess, going to be some kind of montage while the kid was ready to blow the candle out, and the song would play in the background or something like that.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Dropping knowledge.
Yeah, folks, if you need to know any Jars of Clay trivia, I'm just going to say it. There are very few other people on this planet that you should turn to. So
I'm surprised you don't share more along the way.
You know, I just, I have my outlets for that. I have friends who are equally obsessed. So yeah.
I appreciate that they bring you so much joy.
Sure. Yeah.
I feel like some of the calls that went against us in Colorado weren't called as much this game. So that's, you know, there's the whole, you got to figure out what the refs are going to let you get away with. And it was maybe a little more lax this week. So, worked out in our favor, but also, man, like the defensive backs, they did a really good job of, maybe they didn't knock away the pass as it's coming into the wide receiver's hands, but they keep scratching and clawing and fighting to the ground, and then it bounces out. I feel like that happened several times. I love it. Yeah, well, I think we'll go. I would say if there's one thing that they can clearly improve on, it's getting some turnovers, especially if our offense does continue to struggle with giving the ball away against maybe some superior defenses. So that's one area where we could maybe see some improvement. And if they can do that, I mean, this is a defense that I think can give us a real chance in every game we've got.
It's interesting, too, because I'm looking at the defensive stats, and look at these names. Like, the people at the top of the list in terms of total tackles, Huttmacher, Hartzog, Wright, Rollins, and then we got Newsome, Bullock, Sanford, and then Gifford, and then Henrik. So, you know, we've got some people who have been around for a while contributing, but those are some new names for me towards the top of that list. So
did you catch Coach Rhule in the press conference, like, shouting out by name most of the previous defensive coaching staff?
Yeah. Yep.
That was really cool. He was just saying he was pretty confident in the defense pretty quickly just because of the quality of coaching that they'd had and the amount of football a lot of those guys have played.
Oh no.
And that was really neat.
Justin.
What?
You know what I think is starting to happen with me?
What?
I think I'm starting to drink some of the Rhule-Aid.
Oh.
I just realized, like, preseason I was all like, guard your heart, right? I was all like, don't buy the shirts. Don't buy the Rhule shirts. Man.
So you get one win. We're sitting at 1-2 and you're drinking the Rhule-Aid. One
win, and I'm like, kind of like, hey, man, let's go. Let's go win another, you know?
This stuff's going to my head.
The road to 500 is upon us, Justin. And then, like, if we end, I don't know if that's going to happen with Michigan. but I was going to say, if we end up having a winning record in a few weeks, we might have to wait a little bit longer to see if that happens. But
yeah, chill on that.
But, yeah. Oh, gosh. I'm sure. Did it happen last season? I'm starting to think, when's the last time we won two games in a row? Did that happen last year?
I don't remember.
Let me see.
All right, last year we won two games back to back. We had beat Indiana and Rutgers back to back weeks.
Okay. Well, it felt so long ago.
It was. I mean, it was October 1st and October 7th, almost a year ago.
Okay.
Since we had wins. That was those were games. That was the middle of the season last year.
And that was post Frost already, wasn't it?
Yep.
Because we got rid of him about this time last year.
My son, he's 7. He's so cute. He was trying to understand, like, so who's our coach now?
Oh.
Because, you know, even last year we had two head coaches. If you think about it. And he was like, so why did Mickey Joseph fire himself?
Oh.
I was like, well, you know, he just was an interim, so he kind of served his role and then he was done. Didn't have the heart to get into any of the extracurricular crap.
Right.
That was a funny question. And he's like, and before that, was it Frost Scott Frost? Yeah. And what did he do? He's like, he just didn't win enough games. Got to win games.
And somebody stole his Wii. I don't know why I really latched on to that.
You just love that story. I don't know.
It's just funny to me that this guy who's getting paid millions of dollars to coach Nebraska is all like concerned about, like, we got to put this on the report. My console from 2006 that I can replace with a $50 bill. I need to report this is stolen. And like, wasn't it like 2 weeks later they were like, oh, oops, we found some of the stuff. I found my copy of Mario Party. Everything's cool.
I'm going to bring it back to football. We had 23 guys make tackles. So you've got older guys making a lot of tackles, but then you got a lot of new names.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, the future is bright. I'll be curious to see if, you know, I feel like Scott's offense was really effective his first year. And Adrian was awesome. And then already his second year, like maybe it wore off a little bit. Mm. People knew a little bit what to expect. And Adrian had a sophomore slump for sure. I wonder if something like that happens. There was a really good, I retweeted it, Urban Meyer Big Ten video breaking down the 3-3-5 and just showing how.
Yeah.
He said something that I hadn't heard before, which was, you're so used to having four down linemen and then seven people dropping on a pass play. So, you know, your safeties and your corners and your linebackers. But with the 3-3-5, you have eight people dropping. And so he showed a clip of Shadur, and he's like, he's seen seven guys drop for his whole, like, for 15 years, and now there's eight, and he just freezes.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I hadn't heard anybody say it quite like that. And then, and you don't know, is that guy going to drop? Is he going to come? And then I guess also you can match up offensive linemen like to get double teams whenever they can, but since they don't necessarily know, you've got a nose guard right in front of the center, which he said in that video centers don't like. And then you've got two guys wide, tackles. And then you've got linebackers who could be coming from any which way. And so then you end up getting more one-on-one matchups, which I guess favors the defender a little bit. So if you're looking for a good 5-minute video on the 3-3-5, and also I'll say, to his credit, Urban said, you know, people say Nebraska got, you know, blown out by Colorado, but it was... should have been 0-0 at halftime. Actually, should have been 3-0 because Nebraska missed field goal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of special teams.
Yeah.
It's worth pointing out that Buscini had 6 punts, averaged 42.8 yards, a long of 48. It says one inside the 20, but I could have sworn there were two. He had that coffin kick into the corner where Phelan Sanford ran down and got it.
Well, I was trying to figure out... Yeah, no, I was going to say, I was trying to figure out which one of those it was, but I'm seeing here there was a Buscini punt towards the end of the game, and then I'm looking at the very next play was a 2-yard run to the NIU 24, so he got it right around the 20 for one of those. So, but yeah, in general, though, punting was great. There was one kickoff that got a little bit squirrely, and that was, I'm trying to remember his name. It starts with an A.
Alvano.
Yeah, Alvano.
The freshman.
So,
yeah.
Still
Brian
finding
and
his
Tristan
bearings.
They each had three kickoffs. Brian's three kickoffs covered 186 yards. Tristan's covered 185 yards. So,
okay.
Yeah, but Tristan kicked one out of bounds. So that's they're splitting them equally there.
That's good.
And I'm trying to see if there's average field position. Nebraska, the first quarter is 26. Oh, okay. The average field position was the 29 for us. And the average field position for NIU was the 30. So
okay.
Actually, it wasn't that different.
Yeah.
I thought it was...
it just didn't feel like... I think it probably felt different to you just because we weren't, like, starting every drive on the six-yard line or something this time.
Well, it did feel like we got pinned a little bit on punts, and I feel like Billy, I mean, he's doing a good job of snagging the punts, and he has a few return yards, but that's not been quite as dynamic as we hoped.
Yep.
But I would say... that reminds me, if any of our listeners are still listening in and have access to SP Plus, hook a brother up.
That's funny.
I want to know where we stand, and we have lost our access.
That's too bad.
It is no longer available to us.
Well, we know in our hearts that our special teams cannot be ranked 117 this year. That's just not happening. So,
no way.
I mean, no drops. No negative punts so far, you know. The only real botched anything I can think of is the kickoff out of bounds. So,
I will also say we have not addressed long snappers enough or at all yet.
We haven't.
So we need our eyes in the skies. If you're listening, can we get a rundown on long snappers? Because I don't know who they are.
We have long been the podcast of the unsung. So let us know, folks, if you have an inside track on our long snappers, we'd love to hear a little bit about them.
Well, you want to pivot?
Sure. Louisiana Tech is a football team from Louisiana. They are a technical school. They are technically a football team. Oh, wait, that's mean. I shouldn't be doing that. But hey, the old ESPN analytics webpage here has got a 84% chance of victory for the Huskers. So I like those odds.
It's on BTN, 230. We are 84% chance of victory. Their quarterback, 70 of 106 for 756 yards and 5 touchdowns with 2 interceptions. And their leading rusher has 33 carries for 240 yards and 3 touchdowns. Their leading receiver has 24 receptions for 288 yards and 3 touchdowns. By comparison, our leading receiver has 4 receiving receptions for 89 yards and 1 touchdown. So I think they're going to throw it a lot.
I'm looking at their schedule. They have 2 wins and 2 losses. They've won against FIU, Northwestern State. I guess those are the 2 wins. And then they've lost to... Southern Miss, and they lost this last weekend to North Texas in a close game, 40-37. So, yeah.
Wow. Here's the stat that I think will anticipate how things are going to go. We are allowing 46.3 rush yards per game, and they're allowing 205 rush yards per game. So, I think... it could be a really similar scenario to this week, except for they have a few more touchdowns because of success through the air.
Oh, man. Get this. I'm looking at their page. You know how they just lost this last weekend by 3 points?
Yeah.
It was a field goal as time expired. They know our pain.
And they're done that.
They know our pain. Oh, well. Hopefully, for both of us, for both fan bases, it doesn't get to that point this weekend, because for either, whoever ends up losing that is going to, it's going to be terrible if something like that happens. But I am not planning on attending this weekend. I actually, again, have had an opportunity to go to this one, but just because of how busy this weekend and how run down I'm feeling right now. I think I need a good old fashioned weekend, of chillness. So That's what I'll be doing this next weekend. Is I am
clearing
my schedule.
Why do you hate the Huskers?
I love the Huskers, man. I'm just old and run down. I'm a decrepit old fart.
If you didn't have a podcast, I'd wonder.
Not that old. Actually, birthday's coming up in a couple weeks. We're kind of almost officially old. So.
Oh yeah,
it's almost coming up. We got another year.
Then you, it's all downhill. Wackerhagen.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Shout out to Nick. Did you know?
And Amy.
Did you know? Well, it's not her birthday.
No, but yeah, she's more likely to be listening.
Oh, that's true. Hi, Amy. Anyway, folks, you gotta understand, I was born on Michaelmas, and that's not me being some egomaniac. There's actually a holiday called Michaelmas, and my parents named me Michael, not knowing that the holiday Michaelmas existed. So when I was in college and I discovered it, I was like, this is amazing. This is wonderful. My birthday is a holiday and it's named after me. I mean, it's not named after me, but I share a name with Saint Michael, whom the holiday happens to be for. So yeah.
I think when I studied abroad, in England, that they actually had, they had three terms instead of like trimesters. And one of them was the Michaelmas term.
There you go. Awesome. Actually, in college, I met a friend named Michael, and he and I hit it off. And when he found out what my birthday was, he's the only person I've ever met who, when he found out my birthday, he said, your birthday's on Michaelmas. Yeah. Michael Barnes. I wonder what that guy's up to these days. He's a good guy. Should reach out. We're getting there, aren't we?
Should we just pass on score predictions? I don't even feel like it's worth it.
Yeah, I think that's something we can put to bed. Because did we even make predictions last week? We were so.
We did. No, not in the live show.
Yeah.
No.
So that's okay. I think that's fine. I predict a win. That's good enough for me.
Yeah, it would be awesome to get up to 500 and be four wins from 500 and or from a bowl. And have you been following Iowa's offensive coordinator and how he has to like average 25 points per game and everything they do is viewed through that lens now?
Really? I saw some murmurings about it, but I didn't know that that was actually like a criteria that he was working with.
They put it in his contract.
Oh boy.
Because, you know, everybody thought they had the worst offense in the country last year. And everybody thought he should be fired. But oh wait, his dad's his boss.
Jeez.
Technically I think he reports straight to the athletic director. They put in average 25 points per game. So
crazy.
That is the plot line of the year for Iowa.
Well, let's see if we can hold him under that number then.
Love to. Love to. All right. Go Big Red, Mike.
Go Big Red.